We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the CHGO Blackhawks podcast, presented today by our friends at Shift Hockey. Go to shifthockey.com and use code CHGO for 10% off your next twig. I'm Jay Zawoski with Greg Boyson and Mario Tirabassi. And if you're watching on YouTube, you see him right there. It is Blackhawks alternate captain for now, Nick Foligno. He's with us. And he brought us a gift. Look at that. Right in the middle of the set.
Said it looks better. Just that is no offense to Ben, gorgeous. But it looks better.
Hey. Yeah, we just threw the Bedard jersey out the window.
He's never been here. You have, so you get priority. Yeah, when he gets here, we'll put his jersey back on.
Winning fans one day at a time.
Yeah, well, thank you for the gift. We're going to frame that. That's definitely getting – we're not throwing that in the pile, for sure.
Yeah, that's not going to be left in a storage locker in Phoenix.
Yeah, exactly. Well, last we heard from you, Nick, was – Saturday at the season-ending, press conference day, and I think a lot of fans don't really know how that day goes. You meet with us, but before that, you've got exit interviews with the coaches and with Kyle Davidson, and it felt like not just you, but we heard from Seth Jones, we heard from Jason Dickinson, and there was a little bit of seemed like a little season-end frustration from some of the guys. Does that kind of go with just having the meeting with the coaches and kind of recapping everything? What was the explanation for the
I mean, I think, you can obviously see that there's a direct message of this isn't acceptable anymore. I think we obviously understand the rebuild and your understanding of the timetable, but at certain points it also is, we feel, detrimental to the group to continue on and be not in a position where we're starting to really push and expecting more of ourselves. This year was, I said it, it was a unique year this past season where, we had some crazy injuries. We had some unexpected things happen with roster players. And, I get that. I get the realism of that. But at the end of the day, we're also trying to build winning habits. We're also trying to move forward. And, we can't keep saying, it'll get better next year. We have to actually do something as players and as management and as coaches. So that was kind of the messaging, is there's some guys who've endured a lot of years of this, and I've only been here for one. That's all I want. That's all a lot of guys. It's time to start expecting more, and I think the fans should expect more, and I think that's how you grow an organization to understand what meaningful hockey is. And I'm not promising playoffs. I'm not promising Stanley Cups yet, but I'm definitely expecting us to be in the mix next year of playoff position. And, I think if we do that, you're going to see bigger growth from Connor Bedard, Kevin Korchinski, Reichel, Vlasic, and all the other players that are going to be here, and an attitude of the organization that, no, now we're on our way up, now we're climbing up, and no more of this dwelling at the bottom.
Well, we're going to get to Alex Vlasic's new contract in a little bit here. If you didn't hear the news, 6 years, $4.6 million per for Alex Vlasic. We're certainly going to get to that.
That's awesome.
But so it sounds like, Kyle Davidson flat out said it. It's time to get better. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys have assurances that this offseason is going to be bringing guys in to kind of push this thing forward. And one thing that Seth Jones said that stood out a lot was, it's hard to find guys on 1 or 2 year deals who are willing to accept that role, right? Because they're looking ahead to the next deal. So how does Kyle Davidson navigate something like that? Because maybe some of the guys he's looking for would still be in that kind of a position. Do you help with that? Like, say, hey, I know this guy from playing against him, playing with him, whatever, and he's the kind of guy, if you bring him here, he's going to give you what you need and not what he wants.
Yeah, we have those conversations. I think Kyle is so great about that, too. He's open to anything and all things. He's not going to leave any stone left unturned. And in our meeting, that's what he said. He's like, you know, if there's any way of moving this forward, we're going to continue to talk together. And I think that's what gives me, you know, a feeling of hope and excitement that, you know, I know Kyle and Norman, the management staff, are on the same page, and Luke as well. And so there is that cohesiveness now that we feel like we have. All right, here we're going to move this forward together. But you know, the comment by Seth is bang on. You know, you unfortunately do get some, especially younger players who are looking for that contract, or even the older players. But I say, when you're looking for role players, they already know who they are. They already know what they bring to this league. And so whether it's a 1 or 2 year deal, they're either used to it, or they understand exactly how they need to play, and that's what gets them their contract. They're not worried about points. They're worried about, am I providing the winning culture that they're expecting me to be in? And a lot of these guys are coming from those cultures if you can find them. So those are the ones you're going to key on. It's not going out and getting the sexy, you know, free agent pick. It's going to find the guys that slot in to what you need. And what we probably need right now, and I talked about it, is probably trying to figure out a way to get our bottom six to have a real identity. Because we know that there's going to be guys in our top six that are going to have to, you know, play. And you know, you don't want Reichel playing on the fourth line.
Right.
So we're going to have to find ways to really fill those gaps in our lineup. And then it pushes everyone up and stabilizes a lot of those guys. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a GM. It's just the conversation and the reality of, I think anyone looking at our roster would see that. And I think that's how you really build a winning culture, because those guys are going to tooth and nail it. They're going to always bring that attitude and that mindset that you need to have in your bottom six, and you get the right people in and they can sustain it for a long time. And I think that's what, you know, we need here in order to drive us forward. And more guys like that. I know everyone wants the goal scorers, and you can develop those guys within. We have a lot of those pieces, but if you surround them with the right role players that allow them to go out and have those minutes, it can turn your team around pretty quickly.
Yeah. We've talked about that a lot. There's a difference between filling a roster and building a team. Some GMs fill out their roster, others try to build a team and find the perfect guys. Certainly sounds like Kyle is the latter. We heard from Luke on Saturday as well, and he kind of had an interesting tidbit about how he said he had some conversations with some veterans and took some feedback, maybe change a few things next year. He mentioned practice, maybe getting right into it, intense, shorter practices. Maybe that helps us get into the game easier. Kind of a two-parter. How important is that for you guys, that you have a coach that listens to your feedback, takes it, willing to adjust? I mean, there's a lot of guys that are my way or the highway.
Yeah.
And how important is that for Luke too? Because we got to remember, Luke is still developing as a head coach. So how important is it for him to have that open-mindedness to say, okay, yeah, I see your point, let's try it your way and see if that works?
Yeah. I think Luke's really understood, as he's gotten along here with the head coaching, that like the conversations that we're having, you know, it's never we're trying to impose our ideas on him. It's giving him a feedback of what the room's feeling. You know, and I think that's where he felt like, you know, this year especially, there was a lot going on, and I'm sure he tried to just harness in on what he felt was necessary for the group. But I think with the leadership we have in the room now, there is that conversation that we can have a little bit more frequently that might help push this forward and also direct us to where exactly we need help in certain areas. And, you know, practice is one. I think that we can practice harder. I think there's an area where we can go at each other a little bit harder, have that compete level that honestly some nights was missing. And I think you get that in practice. If you compete at a high level in practice, there is just that pull over to the game. And you know, for him, I think he was so focused on teaching, and we had such a young group, new players every day. It was so unfair to him in a lot of ways that it was like, I got to teach these guys every day what our system is, how we play. So we didn't really get that high intense energy practice that we probably needed as a group, because I think it benefits the young guys in knowing how to push the pace, and so that in a game when it does, they actually feel like they're able to keep up at that pace the whole game long. And so that was a conversation. And I think, just like you said, Luke's learning. He's learning how to be a head coach. We're working with him. He's got a whole new group essentially this year that he had to try to figure out and learn. So I think that's where you get better as a coach and as a team. When you have that cohesiveness, when you have that familiarity where you have the same players, the same messaging, it starts to now trickle down from him to us to the rest of the group. And that's what I think we're trying to grow here. And I'm sure he's excited about putting that in the next season.
Well, when we saw it at one point this year after a game that was not particularly that great as far as the intensity level was, the next practice was net front battles, corner battles. Like, you guys were going after it. So, I mean, to me, it sounds like that's more of the atmosphere and culture practice that maybe is missing on a more consistent basis. And, you know, having not so many young guys next year, guys that are in second and third years, maybe I would think it makes it easier to have those kinds of practices because it's like, okay, you're no longer the rookie. We're not beating up on these teenagers. Like, these guys are NHL players now.
Absolutely. And I think that's the progression of it, right? Is like, you come in the league, you're still trying to figure everything out, and you're trying to understand how your game fits into the team's game. And that was a little bit of what happened this year. And plus, we had some guys that were just coming in to fill spots too and help our group move forward. So, you know, credit to them and the way they handle themselves. And but now it's time to put our foot down and be like, okay, this is the culture of the Chicago Blackhawks. This is who we need to be and how we need to play to have success. And I don't see any other way to really pull yourself out of the ashes, so to speak, and then that tenacity, that hard work, that relentless style that I think will really bode well for a lot of our players on our roster right now that are just returning, and not to mention who might be coming in. So that, to me, is the mindset and the attitude that we have to bring into next season's training camp. And if we carry that in practice, it's amazing how it trickles into a game, how naturally you just become more intense and those lulls are gone and, you know, you become a really fun team to watch.
I think it was you that said it during the from our end, it was like revolving door of Blackhawks coming through, so it's hard to keep track. But I think it was you who said a more intense practice means when you're on the ice, it is time to go. And there's no easing into the game. There's no easing into practice. It's if my skates are on the ice, I am competing hard. And that's kind of the mindset. And I think the word accountability gets used a lot, and I think it gets misused a lot. A lot of people think accountability means you lose, you skate till you throw up. Yeah. That's not what accountability is in the terms of what you guys are talking about. It's being, you know, being not the weak link on your team, being the guy that's always ready to go. And that, I think, aside from, the team this year had a bit of a lack of talent. We all knew that. But what was disappointing was the efforts. Mm-hmm. It's felt like once or twice a week, there was one of those games where you're like, they just weren't ready to go. And you feel the practices like that will lead to that accountability, right?
Absolutely. Listen, every one of our players is trying. There's effort, but it's the problem is sometimes it doesn't look like effort because we're all going different which ways. You know, like some guys are trying to play a certain style this way because they don't know any better. Some guys are trying to play the team game, and so it looks disjointed. That's what, honestly, it wasn't the effort. It was just we looked out of sorts in those games, and when teams would pounce on us, that was the issue. And so that's where I think our mindset has to come back to is the accountability you talked about. What are you doing this summer to better yourself for next season? Yep. What are you doing to get in this incredible shape? What are you doing to say, this is the role I want to come and take when I come to camp? That's the first part of accountability. Then when you get here, how your training camp goes, whatever you slot in, that's another accountable spot, because now that's the role you've taken on. So maybe you want the other role, but that's not the role you've been given. So accept it and do everything you can in that role to help our team move forward. And maybe with an injury or your better play in that role, you move up in the lineup and they say, oh, that guy's expendable because this guy's doing it. Now he moves up. So it's understanding that there's a process and that just can't, you know, you can't have everything all at once. And there's guys that are slotted ahead of you. Just reality. Depth charts are depth charts for reasons. But in order for us to have the success that we're trying to have, we need guys slotted in the right spots right now. And the accountability on that to then say, hey, we need you to do this job for us. And it comes down from management to the coaches through the leadership and then down to the players, right? And that's the accountability that we need to have throughout the organization. And I think when you have that, you automatically become a better, more structured team and have success because of that.
One of your old teammates, Brad Marchand, is such a great example of that. Started on the fourth line in Boston because the team was good, worked his way up last night, scored a goal, and he tied Cam Neely for the most playoff goals in Bruins history. Like, that's the story. Accept and execute, and then the more you grow and grow and grow, and now he's a star player, probably a Hall of Famer, a Bruins legend.
Yeah, and that's the hard part for me, is because I did the exact same thing as Marshy. You start off in the fourth line, you learn to appreciate that role and what that means. And then you get moved up as you show that you can do that. And yes, it's unfair. Do I think Connor Bedard belongs in the fourth line? Absolutely not. There's certain players, but then you have other players that say, well, I want that. They want the instant gratification. And I don't ever want to turn it into back in the day and nowadays kids. Like, it's not fair because what those some of these kids are doing coming up is incredible. But there is an impatience sometimes to careers. And I know it now as a as 17-year veteran and an older guy. But, you know, I still, yeah, I was impatient. But I got told, no, this is where you're going to play. You're going to learn this side of the game. And then I do feel genuinely it's made me a better player overall. You know, maybe, yeah, oh, it would have been nice to get my offensive game going earlier in my career if I had that role, but maybe I wouldn't have been able to stick around as long because I wouldn't have understood the other side of the puck. So, and that's really winning teams. If you look at a lot of the teams that win, it's those guys that can kind of play on both sides, and they're super, you're superstars, but they're really responsible. Sidney Crosby didn't start winning consistently until he started really playing on both sides of the puck. And those two, I remember seeing such a difference in him those back-to-back cup years. It was like you could start to see he figured it out and boom, you know, it was like a different animal. And now he's pushing that team forward. So I would love to see our Connor Bedard turn into that kind of player where he's as dangerous as offensively as he's, or defensively as he is offensively. And now it's, you know, you're seeing the maturation of an Austin Matthews even. They talk about him and how well he's, his defensive game is rounded out. That is the process. And sometimes you can learn on the fly, or if you can be slotted in and learn to play in those lower roles and accept your role until you're ready, it's amazing what that does. And, you know, Marshy's a great example. There's a bunch of other guys throughout the league. And I do believe that's a way to really, you know, start accountability from a young age.
We got to take our first little break here and pay some bills. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Alex Vlasic's new deal. Make sure you hit that like button for us. Show your support for Nick and all he's done for us all season, including a sweet new jersey we got here.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah, and make sure you're subscribed as well.
Yeah, and with Nick being on the show, that's thanks to our sponsor of all of his appearances on CHGO Blackhawks, Shift Hockey. You can see the stick there on the set. Shift is bringing the professional custom stick experience to organizations across Chicagoland. You can give your team the opportunity to build a personalized elite stick for a fraction of the cost. Plus, you can work with Shift's designers to create a fully custom stick wrap. You can find out more at shifthockey.com/teams or stop by their shop on the third floor of Johnny's Ice House West. And when you go to shifthockey.com, use the code CHGO and you're going to get 10% off of your next stick. I used Shift Hockey sticks. They're awesome. They are, it's the highest quality stick that I've ever used. And it's, it, you, the weight difference in what I was using before to what stick Shift has now. It's incredible. It's super responsive. I love it. I can't say as many good things as I wish I could have the time for the Shift hockey stick.
My kids and love it too.
Yeah, it's yeah, Nick, yeah, you've said
well done,
it. Your youth team, your kids' youth teams use it. You can get a fully, like, if you're looking to get like fully customized stick wraps for the entire team, go to shifthockey.com/teams. You can do that. Get your entire team fitted out, whether it's youth league, beer league, or just yourself. You want to have the coolest stick on the team, you can do that with Shift.
And you can drive home a winner this April after visiting our partner, Ray Chevrolet. They're sharing the best offers of the year. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake and join in on the savings. As one of the top-selling Chevy dealers in all the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. Plus, you can find that perfect tailgate vehicle or vehicle to carry all your Shift hockey sticks to practice. For a limited time, they're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available. And to top it all off, they're pricing over 125 vehicles under $20,000. Seriously, guys and girls, can pricing get any more affordable? And what's more affordable than free? Nothing. And you can get a free oil change at Ray Chevrolet and Fox Lake just by mentioning CHGO. That's us. A free oil change.
Interesting.
And all you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling an oil change. Excuse me. Start the spring off right and schedule by April 30th. All choked up over that deal.
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
I'm no math expert, but that's only 5 days to get that done. So visit RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Find new roads.
Find them.
You're right.
Try the ribs. I'm fine.
Try the ribs. Exactly. Some sad news, by the way. I just saw this come through on the chat, and I confirmed it on Twitter. Bob Cole, the longtime voice of Hockey Night in Canada, passed away. 90 years old. Just like,
damn.
When I think of like the national hockey play-by-play guy, his voice is just synonymous. I know like it's tough to get Hockey Night in Canada around here, but I remember all like the old Don Cherry tapes and all that stuff I used to watch. He was on that. I think he was the voice of 2K, like the 2K hockey games for a while.
He was.
I think he might have been,
His voice is iconic. I mean, obviously, I'm both sides of the border and spend a lot of my time in Canada in the summer, in the summers. But, he's a guy. I got to meet him, too, with the Leaf Connection, and he's a really incredible man. Nicest man in the world, too. Just made you feel like you were the only person in the room, and I'm really sad for him and his family and for all of hockey fans because that voice. I think I might have mentioned it, but he made a call for my dad in 93, sorry, when he played for the Leafs. He scored an overtime goal, and the way he said it was, "Scores, Foligno, scores!" And he did the exact same thing on my call when I scored in Columbus. Awesome. And it was really, I don't know if he even meant to do it, but it was so neat. Somebody played it side by side for me, and I have it still to this day. And it gives me goosebumps because I remember saying that call as a kid after my dad scored. And then to hear him say it about me was pretty special. So I'm sure a lot of players have Bob Cole stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 50 years.
Rest in peace, Bob. We're missed. You'll be missed.
50 years of covering the NHL. You think of all the legends of the game. He got the call when he retired. I believe it was after the 2018-19 season. I believe you could still find it out there. Sportsnet put together like a retrospective video tribute, and it's like 5 minutes of like his greatest calls. It's so awesome. I'm pretty sure
it's
still
out
there on the YouTubes. Yeah, you can find it and reminisce on some of the best moments to ever happen in the game. Well, shall we?
Yeah.
The big news of the day.
Yeah, let's talk about it.
The happy news of the day.
Alex Vlasic now makes more money than you. What do you think about that?
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Ridiculous.
Well deserved, man. I'm honestly thrilled for our organization, first of all. I'm thrilled for him and his family. He's such a great kid, and being a local kid to sign a long-term deal with your hometown team, it's got to be a thrill of a lifetime. And what he means to us, you know, like he's a rookie and he's a cornerstone already, and in my mind, to our defense and what we're trying to do here. So to see him lock up is a great sign for our organization. It gets me pumped, and I think it's going to be a great sign to even just attract other people, because there's a lot of people around the league that like the way he plays and would want to play with a guy like him. So he should be thrilled, and I think we should all be thrilled that he's sticking around for the long term. And he's just a great person too. An unbelievable family, and got to know his family a little bit, and I'm pumped that he's going to be here for a long haul.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it is already a great deal for him, like in his development path. Like he's on a great track. He played top minutes this year, tough minutes for this team, and handled it really well. And you know, we were kind of spitballing the last couple of days on the show about like what could extension look like for him, you know, short term, long term, bridge deal, stuff like that. And it kept coming up, like, well, you know, we think back to like Duncan Keith's contract, how very quickly it was one of the biggest bargains. And it feels like with where Alex is at, where, you know, his trajectory is at in his career and what this deal looks like, it's like it seems like it has the potential to be one of the best bargains in the league. And I think, like, yeah, like you said, like Alex seems like a great guy, a great, you know, great teammate, great person, great player. It just feels like Kyle, in his first, like, putting the next core together move, I would think.
I think so, yeah.
Got it completely right.
Yeah. It's actually funny, little side story. I don't know if you guys saw at the arena or heard about, but there's a guy that always had, like, a re-signed Vlasic sign.
Saw that a few times,
every game. And it kind of got around the room. You know, you look around, you see signs of everyone, and it got around the room eventually, like, all right, Vlasic, like, how much have you hired this guy for? Because obviously, you know, every game now he's here, and Vlasic would make a joke, yeah, man, it's still not working. Like, I don't know, I might have to make a bigger sign. And So finally he signs, and then Tyler Johnson in our group chat today go, what are we going to do with the re-signed Vlasic guy now? What's his job going to be? So we'll have to find him a job.
He'll find somebody.
Who needs a new
shout out to that guy. We don't even know who you are, but that was a hell of a job for Vlasic.
He can just X out Vlasic and put Kirchev on.
Pick another guy. He's obviously done a good job. He's got a good track record. One for one right now. But
at least we know what Alex Vlasic's agent was doing all season.
Yes.
Well, I think as we all, you know, as fans and you guys as players, like kind of look to, you know, so far what Kyle Davidson has done in terms of rebuilding the team, getting the draft fix. The draft fix look like they're going to be good. Okay, that box is checked. Now it's time for new contracts for a couple guys. And the first one, solid deal. Seems like a good deal for the team. I'm sure Alex is very happy to have the security and the money.
Yeah.
Checkbox number two. Now, for us, from our end, and probably from your end too, the next test for him is, can he convince guys to come here and buy into what's going on? And that's the next box to check for Kyle Davidson. But it sounds like, just from what you said earlier today, that you guys have pretty strong faith that he's going to be able to execute that.
Yeah, I mean, he's shown us that he can, and he wants to. And so, obviously the time will tell. We're hopeful that we can maybe have voices within our friend circle, or, you know, conversations you can have with guys who are free agents and help move it along. But, you know, it's important that you lock up core pieces like Vlas, though, right, and what he's going to mean to this team. He's going to be a leader at some point with a letter, I'm sure. Just the way he carries himself and the respect he already has as a young player. So, you know, you start putting those pieces together and it gets other guys excited within the organization to see that. And then, you know, hopefully that trickles into other people that he knows or friends that are like, yeah, I want to come and be a part of this. It's a team on the upswing. And so I'm excited. That's a big name that we can add to our group now. And you know, hopefully it'll bode well for free agents attraction and whatever else Kyle and Norm have planned.
Yeah, we were talking just earlier this week about what his next deal could look like, and we were all like, yeah, 6 years, $6 million, that's fine, that's gonna be a bargain.
I guess
in 2 years.
Seven. Yeah,
and then
it's a good thing I'm not a GM.
Yeah. Then you see the number come in and you're like, well, that's gonna be a bargain from opening night of next season. Mm-hmm. Going like forward, it, yeah. Is that Alex kind of also buying into the future too, and Kyle doing a good job of saying like, listen, you could probably get more, but we want to keep everybody here. We got a lot of guys coming in the next few years. This is going to be something special. You know, is that a sign that, you know, getting that value deal done early, that Alex is now like 100% like, yeah, this is going to be great. Do whatever it takes to make the team good going forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, at the end of the day, I can't speak for Alex, but in my head, I'm looking at it like, yeah, he's definitely showing that there's a commitment here, and, you know, he's also gotten life-changing money. So it's not like, you know, because of what he signed for, it's not like it's not going to change his life in a lot of ways and give him the security that you talked about. So I don't think he's looking at it other than like, this is an amazing, 2 months ago, I would have never dreamed of this. So that's wonderful, and I think he's just more focused on the hockey and wanting to put his stamp on this team and say, I'm here to make a difference. And that's what I love about, that's the type of players we need. That's the type of players we want. And we always knew we had that in Vlas, but for him to say, even after a year like this, like, no, I'm coming here to help turn this thing around and make a difference, I think that sends a bigger message of what we're trying to accomplish here and what he's all about as a person. I think that's really what it speaks to is, yeah, he could have held out and, you know, it's his first deal and been like, no, I want this, I want this, I want this. And then it starts to tarnish sometimes. I've seen that route where it tarnishes the relationship. And I think he realizes the opportunity he has to play at home, the opportunity he has to grow and be really successful here if it's built right for a long time. And then he'll get maybe the big payday where it's a splashy number. But, I mean, even then, this is a big number coming out of your entry-level deal. So, for me, you know, signing a qualifying offer coming out of my entry-level deal, I'm really thrilled for a guy like Vlas, but I know that was ages ago. But it shows that, you know, he's committed to us and what we're trying to do, and that's why you love him and appreciate him and respect him.
Where is he taking you guys out to dinner first?
I don't know. That's my next text. I called him. He didn't answer, so now he's Bobby Big Wheeling me.
He's big time. Wow. Big time, and you are, right?
But my next call will be, where are we going for dinner, and how many beers are you going to buy me?
Yeah.
About 4.6 mil.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, it's just really encouraging. And I think that we've talked about this before, but I know people don't see every show, but like, Chicago kind of sells itself too. Like, players around the league, even though it's in a rebuild, they know how players are treated here. Like, we just saw what happened to the players in Arizona.
Yeah.
Oof. And that's, they're not the only example. That's an extreme example. But in terms of accommodations and resources that you have and number of trainers and nutrition and all the, even just Fifth Third Arena in general, all the things that you guys have at your disposal, it's towards the top of the league.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say? Yeah. And it's,
oh, you could call it spoiled. We're spoiled. Yeah. Like, it's, it's insane here.
Players know that.
Yes.
Right? Like that word and travels. Just, yeah. And,
oh, it's, yeah. I mean, that's one thing I knew. I came for a media day a long time ago, and I saw the facility, and I was like, oh, my God, this is totally different than what we have in Columbus. And you go back, you're like, hey, we got to get that. Like, how do we get that?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, be an original six team. I'm like, oh, right, yeah.
It helps.
But that's, yeah, that's, that's the beauty of Chicago. It sells itself a lot of times, right? And you, but you need the team to show a trajectory, and you know, this year we weren't the team that did that a lot of nights. You know, a lot of nights it was we didn't have that identity that we need to have. So that's the thing that we can sell, is like, no, listen, we have a plan in place. This year went a little awry with some of the things that we were uncontrollables, but this is what we can control, and this is what we're going to do going forward. And I think that's how you really build, and you have to do it. You know, that's you can talk and talk and talk, and it's great that we're sitting here in April doing this, but it's going to come down to what September and October looks like, and the team that we have in training camp, and the mindset that we come back in, and that's really where it comes from. Because you can go out and get some really good players, and but if you don't have that understanding of what it is we're going to have to do in order to get back into that upper echelon, then it's going to fall out from the floor. And I think what we've done, though, is at least built a good foundation. We have good people here, smart people, players-wise, coaches and management that know how to build this with a strong foundation, and then hopefully we can get going from there.
All right, we got to take another break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the other young players that have made an impact this year and will in the future. And we're going to have some fun with Nick, too. We have
Always.
Nick Foligno lookalikes to share during this show.
Let me guess, they're all bald.
Happens a lot.
Well, yes. Before we get to the fun stuff, I want to tell you about our new pals over at CD One Price Cleaners. Customers can save over 30% on their dry cleaning bill by switching over to CD One Price Cleaners. Other cleaners charge a different price for every garment type. Plus, they have those nasty upcharges, and you may pay a different price each time you visit. At CD One Price Cleaners, get this, they charge just one price for any garment.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Even just sports jersey. Name.
Not just a clever name. Yes, yeah, the same one low price. Stay awesome. With me here. I'll get us through this. CD One Price Cleaners has your order ready the same day or the next day. Other cleaners may take 2 to 4 days to have your garments ready, and by then I've forgotten I've even owned that shirt, and then it stays on their little twirly thing for centuries.
Carousel.
Yes. CD One Price Cleaners will even send you a text message and say, hey, dude, come get your stuff.
Dumbass.
It's ready. They have a wide variety of services like dry cleaning, wash and fold laundry, blankets and comforters, tailoring and alterations, leather cleaning for Jay, and area rug cleaners. Visit chgo.cdone.com. That link is also in the description below. Once there, you can pick from an in-store coupon or online pickup and delivery options.
And before you go to CD One Price Cleaners, you're going to want to eat all your bacon from Charlie the Bacon Guy and get your clothing all stained and the grease and the bacon drippings
make them
all over
for
it.
That one price.
Yeah. See how good they are at CD One Price Cleaners of getting bacon grease out. Charlie is based in Woodridge, Illinois, and he makes Kraft bacon and bacon jams in over 35 different flavors. I know Nick had some of the Malort bacon. Oh. Don't judge it by the Malort bacon. It's all good except that one.
It was good because it was bacon, but Malort in general is disgusting.
Yeah, it's not good. That's
it's
the joke.
It's not bad going down. It's after.
It lingers.
Oh, it's only like a month after your
I don't know why you want to say that that's part of the Chicago culture. Like, that's just no
Chicago
offense.
Handshake. Malort in an old style.
It's the initiation process.
And I grew up on Grappa, so I don't know. Malort was just,
it's not good. Well, you have some on your way out. It's naturally cured and preservative-free. There's no ingredients that Charlie can't pronounce, which, you know, that's not really...
It's not a lot of ingredients.
Charlie struggles sometimes. He's laid up today so we can take our shots at him. Every package is vacuum-sealed and freezes perfectly. Bacon lasts in the package up to 60 days in the fridge, 1 week after the seal is broken. Don't break the seal. And 9 months in the freezer. The bacon jam lasts about 90 days in the fridge and up to a year in the freezer and about 2 seconds in my house. It goes perfectly on anything. Again, last night, baked potato night, my favorite night of the month. bacon jam all over that baked potato. It was awesome. Visit the Bacon Vault at charliethebaconguy.com. You can see all the flavors he's made in the past. And if it's not currently available, he'll make it for you. Just give him about 2 weeks and order enough, and he'll get it done. He's also got great merch. The current bacon flavors, ranch, rosemary, vanilla bourbon, maple espresso, Cajun, jardinier, and Canadian bacon, or as they call it in Canada, bacon. The bacon jam flavors are the original, the bourbon, and the cherry jalapeno. And starting now, you can save 10% on your order at charliethebaconguy.com when you use the code CHGOHAWKS at checkout. You can pick it up, which is the most efficient way for you, or you can deliver it, meet you halfway, or even ship it. He makes the bacon, so you can bring it home. So again, use that code CHGOHAWKS at charliethebaconguy.com for 10% off. And we have an update. As of yesterday, we were in the lead.
Let's go.
In sales.
Nice. Yes.
All right. So our bullying has worked.
Yes. We were losing to the White Sox, and
no one
literally
loses
nobody
Sox.
Ever loses to the White Sox. So we can't let that happen.
Don't lose at a White Sox.
You hear that?
Sorry, Alan. Vinny.
I feel bad. What is their record this year?
Two and three?
3-20?
Yeah,
3 wins?
It's not good.
3-21.
They've been shut out 8 times in 22 games.
Historically
bad.
Good.
It's not.
That's all right. It'll turn around.
Yep, it will.
CHGO Hawks.
So a couple of new young guys have debuted. Landon Slaggart, Frank Nazar, Ethan Del Mastro. Let's start with Slaggart, because when you talk about those identity guys, those guys to fill out the bottom six, at no point this year in watching him play did I say he needs time in the AHL. He needs seasoning. He looked like ready to go from jump.
He has a great energy about him and a great understanding. I think that's probably just being an older player in college and having the identity piece already kind of set for him. He knew what he was trying to be when he came up here, and I thought he did an unbelievable job stepping into a not an easy situation, and I thought he gave us a lot of stability and just his spunk, the way he plays. Like, he's not afraid. He pitched in with a few nice goals. Like, you can tell he's got finish,
yeah,
but he's not looking to be that finisher. Like, he's going to compliment you, but he's not going to be the guy that drives it. But he's going to drive the work ethic. He's going to drive the identity piece. He's going to drive the speed. He's a quick kid. And he's just an awesome kid in the room, And you can tell he's well-raised and just has an appreciation for the group. And, he's a captain in Notre Dame, so he understands that culture piece. So I thought the way he came in and handled himself was really impressive. And I was definitely blown away by him as a player and as a kid. And I'm excited to see what he's going to bring our group next year, because I do feel like he's a guy that you can slot into those spots, and he's going to elevate your team because of the way he plays and how much he cares.
One thing, we've been able to talk to Nazar a few times before. We actually went to Notre Dame last December and talked to Slaggart and Nazar after Notre Dame, Michigan. One thing that I've always noticed about Frank is there is no lack of confidence there. And that kid is like, when you look up swagger in the dictionary, it says see Frank Nazar. Like, how awesome was that for him to have that moment? Gets that breakaway goal in his first game. It's just like, and we talked to him after
and then
that
this
game.
One?
Yeah.
The, yeah.
What the hell? You got to do that one.
He lied to us. He said he didn't know what the name of that set was.
Yeah, he didn't know exactly
what that is. Yeah. But a guy like that just comes in and just looks like he belongs. Like, how impressive is that?
It's really impressive because, again, you're coming in at the end of the season. And I think what happens though sometimes too is you just get to play. There's no pressure. There's no just go out and play. The season's kind of winding down, so the only pressure is to perform. And I think when you have that already in some stages that he's played on, World Juniors, you're okay with that, And I think it was. I mean, he could have scored right before that on the power play, actually, and then he gets that opportunity and buries it, and I think it just gives such a confidence to you already. And yes, you're right, he doesn't lack any confidence. He's got a swagger, and you could tell. I mean, I think guys said in Vegas in between periods he was singing in the locker room to himself and walking around, and so you love that though. You need characters. You can't have everyone being the same on a team. You need to have guys that have a little more energy or a little more swagger or whatever it is, because it makes the group interesting. It drives guys at certain times. And so you can never border arrogance. You don't want it to be arrogance or cockiness that takes away from the group, but you want swagger that builds the group up. And when you see a kid like him come in that has that and wants the puck and wants to go through the middle, and much like a Bedard, it drives your team. And you could see he had success. He made some really good plays. He has some things to learn, obviously, with some of the time and spacing and things, but he's not afraid either That's what I appreciate about him. He'll go to the hard areas. He got hit a few times and was pissed at himself for getting himself in that spot. So then, you know, he's trying to go and run guys too. And so that at least he has a little FU in his game, which I always call it. I think it's important. You know, yeah. It's like you got to have that. You can't play this game, whether you're a skilled guy or not, but you have to have a little pushback. And he has that. So I really like him. Obviously, it was a short sample size, but I really like the way he handles himself. Another great kid. And, you know, I think we're pumped to have him.
That after that Notre Dame-Michigan game, Michigan lost that game. And he was, like, we had to talk to him, and he was pissed. Like, yeah, we could tell he was like,
it was like, wasn't it not the greatest time. Was that the 5-1?
Yeah.
It was like a 5-1 loss. It was not a great game for Frank or Michigan. Slagger got the best of him on that night. And, yeah, he met us after the game. And for about the first 5 or 6 questions, he was like, I'm so mad. And then he loosened up a little bit by the end of it.
It's not easy.
How did that go in L.A.? Not go? We never saw a good replay of that L.A. scoring chance he had. And we don't know how it didn't go in.
Oh,
the one off the post.
Did he slide across the goal line?
Almost?
He like went right around him and just threw it right across. And I think it just nicked the top of the post and then went away.
That's brutal.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, what a play! I was skating. I'm like, oh my god, he almost put that in. I thought he actually did, and then I saw it go out the other side of the net. I'm like, the hell.
Yeah.
But that the last guy is Del Mastro. I know it was a really quick.
Yeah.
Quick little two jump, games. But
I liked him in camp, and then you know I knew the plan was almost like a Vlasic, like where they were just going to keep him down all year, and but I like him. I think he actually, you know, he's offensive upside too, where that's kind of his junior stats and whatever. He was a higher offensive guy, but he has the stature and ability to play a defensive style game, a physical, you know, in your face style of game, and I think you know. One thing I know is we're trying to, you know, you can tell how big our defensemen are. So you can get guys like that that can skate and the size-wise, and he's another piece that can really step in next year with a really good summer, accountability, and coming in and coming in to make a difference on the club and not just say, okay, I'm going to see if I can make the team. It's like, no, I'm coming in to make an impact. I want a roster spot. I'm going to force myself onto this team. If we have guys like that, he's one of those guys, I think, that can drive us and push us and, you know, play in that maybe in the bottom six or bottom tier of the defense to start and then push himself up in the lineup. And if he does that, I think he's going to give us a really good chance to be a solid team and himself to be a great player.
We saw, I mean, Wyatt Kaiser flat out did that at camp. You know, forced he showed up and was like, team. I am taking this job. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's another guy with a little bit of swag too, it seems.
Love it. Yeah. Yeah. And he's a guy that has a great future because I think he's realizing, okay, I forced myself on the team. This is how I played in training camp. Then as the season goes along, you realize, like, you know, it's hard to be consistently good in certain aspects, but he has the tools to do that. And so when he does play that style of rushing the puck up and breaking, he's almost I call him a one-man breakout. He can break the puck out by himself a lot of times, but then it's making that pass to execute the next play. And as you know, the season went on, you could see he was losing confidence because he probably didn't want to make any mistakes, and it happens to young players, but when he came back up for his second stint, I thought he did a really good job. So I'm excited to see what he's going to do in the offseason to get himself ready to come in and take a spot. And that internal competition, if we have that, where, like I talked about, you have a certain idea of the role you want, but then you get to camp and everyone's fighting for certain roles and you have that internal competition and the best guy gets that role, you're now pushing your team forward. You're now a team that's moving up the chains, and that's what I expect out of everyone to do.
Yeah, Kaiser definitely seemed like a guy that, as the season went on, started to understand that aspect of know my role.
Yeah.
Especially when he went back down to Rockford, he kind of...
I heard he's a man amongst boys right now, playing there. Right?
Yeah, Anders Sorensen, really well. The head coach down there, told us, is like, yeah, it took him about 5 or 6 games to kind of figure out the physicalness of this league, and then once he accepted that, things change for him down there, and hopefully the Ice Hogs have a nice long.
I would love that
playoff run. There's some important pieces down there getting some valuable experience.
Yeah, no doubt.
Speaking of the playoffs, have you been? Do you guys like keep up with it?
This year, I've watched it because normally I won't. Like if I'm in it and we lose, I can't. I can't stomach seeing the team that you lost to play. I can't stomach seeing the opportunities that maybe you might have had if you the way the teams lose and you would have had a chance to play that team. So this year, I think just knowing the situation, I've actually enjoyed it. Especially my boys are at the age where they want to watch. We've tuned in, and there's been some good games, like really good games. I've been impressed. I mean, that's That's why it pisses me off not to be in the playoffs, because it's just it is the best sport at this time of year. It really is. Like, the NHL playoffs to me rivals anything. I don't care what anyone says. And that's why it makes it so fun to be in, because anything can happen. The first round is the hardest round, in my opinion. And just because there's just every team thinks they can win the Stanley Cup. When you get in the playoffs, everyone's back to square one, regardless of your record. Look at what Vegas is doing to Dallas right now, right? Like, yeah. I know they're previous Stanley Cup champions, but Dallas looked like a powerhouse this year. Yeah. And much like us last year in Boston, right? Mm-hmm. Florida just gets in, and away they go. So that's the beauty of the playoffs, and I think it's just so enjoyable for fans and fan bases. And so I've actually really enjoyed watching. I've tuned into a few series. I have a good friend that's coaching Nashville, so I'm watching that series. And it's obviously the old teammates in Boston, and that's been a wild one, and we'll see where it all goes.
Do you think there's any – so you had a very brief stint with Toronto.
Yeah, very brief.
Do you think there's like a – there is a mind virus there with those guys that is it just the attention? Like, they seem to, no matter how much talent they have, they can't.
Yeah, no, there is. There is definitely, like, listen, that market is over the top. It's wonderful for the way they talk about hockey, but it's also debilitating for the way they talk about hockey, in the sense that there is no such thing as everything's a story, you know. Yep. Nick Foligno wore certain color shoes to the rink today. What does that mean? Is he want out? It's like, you know, I'm just saying, like, that's the...
It's like the Bears.
I remember
it's funny because it's true.
Yeah, it's just, it's too bad that, like, they can't just appreciate how good of a hockey team they have. There's always... And listen, I think a lot of times it's because they're fans, and I get it. They want their team to do well so bad. So instead of being disappointed by maybe the outcome, they choose to find different stories and angles so that they can justify or pull up something that maybe is something they noticed. And everyone's fighting for stories there too. There's 100 people covering the team. So it just, you can never get away with it. And I give those guys credit. The way they, like, the superstars there have handled the media attention the past few years, I give those guys credit, because it's not easy and it's a hard market to play in. But I'm also thankful I got to play there. It sucked that I got hurt and the team didn't do well. But, you know, and maybe under a different circumstance, I wouldn't go if it was COVID, knowing all the rules. I didn't really get to enjoy Toronto and the fans.
Yeah.
So I think it would have been a different experience, because I had this, you know, this idea of watching it when I was a kid and being in the arena and knowing how proud my dad was to play for the Maple Leafs. And I definitely had that. It was hard to not have the fan base behind you cheering you on in those playoffs. Right, and right. So it felt like there was a disconnect, but I do feel for the guys, because I think it's a lot of it is unwarranted, but that's the reality of playing in Toronto, and you sign up for it, you know it, and if you just accept it, it really, yeah, you're gonna get built up and you're gonna take your licks. You just can't really get too caught up in either.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, let's have some fun, shall we? It is Bears draft day, and we know, I think last time you were here, we mentioned Kyle Long, your Chicago doppelganger, former Bears offensive lineman, and he was actually on our Bears show, and your name came up.
Oh. Kyle, are you aware of who Nick Foligno is?
I feel like I know this name.
So, yeah, well, he plays for the Blackhawks.
Yeah, it's my twin.
Yes. So he is also part of our CHL.
I was like, yes, that's why I know the name, because I'm added in every single thing that they put out about Nick Foligno, because people are like, Kyle, good luck. They're like, hey, you know, tape your ankles good or whatever. Like,
so he is part of our CHL family here, and I believe he was asked about you on our Blackhawk show. So here's the video.
All right, one more football one. Sure, another former Bear here. We got former offensive lineman Kyle Long.
I've heard that one, actually.
You have.
Handsome guy, too. I want to meet him.
I think he still hangs around.
Yeah, he's around. Chicago. Yeah, I would love to meet that guy. He's awesome.
We got to set this up.
I cannot wait to meet you, Nick. And this is sick. I mean, like, when you said the name at first, I was thinking it was maybe a media member that we work with. And then I was like, oh, yes, I know who this guy is. Because when he came to Chicago, it was made very public to me that we look similar, you know, like we could be cousins. And I guess he's a beast because they always got him in the media. And that's awesome, man. Tip of the cap. That's what makes Chicago sports awesome.
Very cool. Very cool. Nice. Now I really want to meet this guy.
We got to make it happen. Awesome. Gotta get it here in studio. One thing about Kyle, watching him there, outside of not having the amazing flat top hair, he's morphing into his dad. Big
yeah, a little
sounds
bit.
Like him talking with his hands, how he does.
Yeah, I mean, I do that too.
But I do it too. That's the Italian.
yeah, don't do it.
Yeah,
but handsome guy. I'm gonna keep saying that, handsome guy.
And I didn't know about your musical prowess. I was watching the Billy Joel concert on CBS the other day, and I saw you playing bass and singing backup. There you are, right there.
My wife goes, oh, man, you're going to get – if somebody's watching, you're going to get said, that guy looks just like you. I was watching that the other night.
Yeah, and then they
Cut it off like, for a breaking news. Yeah. It was sad.
Yeah, it was sad. I was rocking out to Billy Joel, man.
Yeah, that was that's actually hilarious. I literally was like, oh, man, that guy does kind of look like
God, I hope those handsome CHGO clones didn't see that.
I wish I could sing, though. Oh, that'd be great. I think I can sing, but if you ask my teammates, they want me to shut up. So
yeah. Well, you got Nazar now. He can lead. By the way, we need an answer. Next time you see him, what is the right way to say his name? We've heard Nazar. We've heard Nazar.
Yeah, and I think it's Nazar.
Nazar, like laser?
I think.
See, no one knows. Well, I don't even know if he knows.
Maybe it's Nazar. It is Nazar. Sorry, you got me. It's Nazar.
Nazar?
That's how Gene Honda said it. Nazar.
Oh, Nazar.
Well, if Gene Honda said it, it has to be true.
Right.
That's Dickie Dunn writing that.
I mean, Gene Honda didn't get where he is by saying guys' names wrong.
Yeah.
Could you do that? If you called him right now, you think he'd answer?
No. How do you say your name? Oh, yeah, he's got his parents have his screen time turned off right now.
That's true. That's true. Yeah,
he's got to finish.
He's got one of those. See me calling back.
He's got one of those Disney phones.
Yeah, just text me, God.
Yeah. New episode.
Those guys especially.
There's a new episode of Bluey on right now. He doesn't want to.
I had a friend tell me their daughter yelled at them for knocking on their door instead of texting. Can I come in?
Oh my!
They knocked. Like, don't knock. Just text me.
Oh God.
That sounds about right.
This is why I have dogs.
All right, what's the plan for the summer? Are you sticking around here?
So we're sticking around till June 6th or 3rd, I think. I can't remember. The school.
Oh, yeah.
School year. Yeah.
And then flying up to Canada. We're going to go to my lake house up there, and that's where I just decompress. So, I'm honestly really excited the next month and a bit to really enjoy Chicago and the city, the restaurants,
the
Cubs game. The White Sox game. Mm.
It's claim your own section night tonight. So enjoy.
You'd be the
most famous person at a White Sox game right now.
No, those guys, they're gonna turn it around. I've got faith in Chicago sports. But no, I'm really looking forward to that. And then we'll head up to Sudbury and enjoy our time up there with family. It's always nice to see them and reconnect. And my kids get so excited to see their cousins. And
speaking of Sudbury, I saw you hanging out with the Shorzy guys.
Yeah.
What's that connection?
So a good family friend of ours was on the show that he did with Letterkenny originally. And So I got to know, they were filming, so I had him over and they brought the whole cast over and I got to know the whole cast of Letterkenny, and then it morphed into Shorzy. So I've just kept in really close contact with Jared Kiso over the years, and he's a huge hockey fan. And I said, why don't you finally come down to a game? And he's unfortunately a Calgary Flames fan. I don't know what he's thinking, but now he's a Blackhawk fan.
Yeah, of course.
But it was nice to have those guys in town. A lot of the trainers and guys know the show, so they were pumped to meet him, and they're funny, and they do a hell of a job. I think season 3 is coming out for sure. Yeah,
did you see the trailer?
Yeah, I was dying.
Where he's heckling the guy with 98?
Yeah, I was dying. I don't know if that was right after they filmed it coming down here with Bedard, but pretty well thought out, and
Well, put in a good word for us, because, if he wants to come on the show to promote the new season, I love Shorzy. I've watched season 2, like, multiple times, and... Do the players watch it? Is it?
More guys have now, because of those guys coming in, have tuned in. But our trainers were like so excited; they were starstruck. They were like this because they love that show, and they. It was just really cool. But if I get him back, I'll try to get him set it up. Maybe we'll get him in here.
Yeah, even if it's just like Zoom or whatever.
Yeah.
We quote Letterkenny / Shorzy on the show all the time. Yeah. Like every time you guys played the Kings, we're always like, Kings.
Yeah, we just brought that in.
Oh, there we go. Here it is.
I don't know if we can play the trailer.
Can we play it or no?
We allow swearing on the podcast.
I just love the Italian colors of this team.
Yeah, I was going to say, this jersey is awesome.
I thought that was excellent. Yeah, I gotta find a way. I'm gonna text Jared and see if I can get one of those with a 17 on it.
Yeah, we probably can't use the audio. Yeah. We don't want to get pulled off YouTube, but go find it. It's pretty funny.
The Connor mom Bedard's jokes name are pretty funny too, when he's reffing and he's talking to kids with the mom jokes.
I love that show.
It's fantastic.
And it is, if these things interest you, it is probably the hottest cast of women on a television show ever.
Sudbury, man. That's what we're known for. Hockey and great looking
girls. Is that like actually true?
Not even kidding, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I picked the best looking one, my wife, out of there. But there's a lot of great looking girls. I don't know if it's just the miners' daughters that we have up there that just they hide them in the mines.
We need to do a road trip to cover a Sudbury Wolves game.
We'll have to do a show from your lake house.
Might want
to
come up. Yeah, might want
to come up. Kyle Davidson's from Sudbury too.
Yeah. Twist my arm.
Yeah.
You know, might see him hanging around.
But it's a hidden treasure. I don't want to share too many.
All right, we'll delete that part.
Yeah,
we'll cut that in post.
Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate this and for everything all year. And hopefully we can do it again next year. That would be great. And I know we'll have a lot more fun and encouraging things to talk about on the ice next year as well.
Yes,
so
that is the plan. No, I appreciate everything. Thanks, sir. Even just bringing the spotlight to the foundation and everything else, too. That means a lot to me.
Yeah, so do you want to, before you go, say just a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to get involved in Lurie's Children's Hospital here, so that's been really nice. We're already making a connection there and had a couple visits and some donations. So, it's Heart's Playbook. It's after our daughter with her congenital heart defect, and we've tried to turn a tough story into a great one, and we feel very privileged that the people have really supported it, and we're so thankful and want to do our part in this community as well. So any way you want to support, and you can learn about it on our website, heartsplaybook.com. But thank you very much, and more than anything, we just want to continue to do our part in the community. I think that's what Janelle and I and my family is most, we're part of this community. As much as we're playing for this hockey team, we're part of this community. We go to the schools, we go to the grocery stores, we go to the hospitals, and any way we can help move this forward and help the community is something we're proud of, and it makes us feel really good about ingraining ourselves here. So
awesome. Well, we appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next season, maybe hopefully sooner. Maybe there'll be some news.
Have a great summer,
everybody.
You have
an open invite anytime you have some free time and want to come and talk with us.
Yeah, after I play daddy daycare for a couple more weeks, I might be just hiding out in here. So
that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Fridge is packed. We got NFL blitz over.
Yeah, we're good.
So it's a nice setup in here.
All right, Nick. Thank you very much. That's Nick Foligno. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2:30. We may have some Ice Hogs.
Yeah, we've got to confirm that up.
Let's go, Rockford. Let's go.
And we'll be virtual tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah. Please don't break the studio.
Yeah. Right before.
We'll be virtual tomorrow, but back at our normal time, 2:30, and hopefully talking with some Ice Hogs, but we'll at least talk about the Ice Hogs as the Calder Cup playoffs begin for them on Saturday.
Awesome. All right, we'll talk to you then, 2:30 on Friday on the CHGO Blackhawks podcast.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.